Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
San Diego Padres, Chris Ello and Tony Gwynn Jr. going to talk a little baseball right now with a guy who knows as much about it as anybody I know, Scott Miller from Bleacher Report. Scott, let's get right into this, and let's start with the Rookie of the Year race in the National League. We all are looking at it from our point of view, which is the Fernando Tatis Jr. point of view, and we certainly can make a great argument for it, and we have a lot of to back it up, and we get to watch him play every day, and every day he does more and more to make us believe that he should be the Rookie of the Year. My question to you is, going around baseball and talking to everybody throughout baseball, is the thinking similar around baseball? Because there really are, and I know Alonso's the biggest candidate, but there are some other guys too. It's an unbelievable year for rookies in baseball, and the National League, there's just you could make a whole team of them.
Yeah, you got Brian Reynolds in Pittsburgh is like second in the league in batting. You got Mike Soroka in Atlanta, who's you know, doing great stuff in the rotation for a division leading team. Alonso, of course, has gotten everybody's attention. I think he's got a running start on the Rookie of the Year award because of all the home runs he's hit, because he got the nice primetime exposure at the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby. He won that, even though a lot of people think Vladdy Guerrero Jr. did.
Right.
He stole the show. But, you know, Chris, for me, this might sound weird, but to me, the National League Rookie of the Year race is almost starting today. And the reason I say that is
somebody qualified today.
Exactly, Tony. Yes, with his at-bats yesterday, after missing the 5 weeks with a hamstring injury in May, in early June, with the at-bats yesterday, Fernando Tatis Jr. now has enough at-bats to qualify. So what that means for people listening that maybe don't realize, you've got to have 3.1 plate appearances, an average of 3.1
right,
for each game your team played. So wherever the Padres are now, what are they, 112 games or whatever, he's finally at 3.1 plate appearances. So what that also means for people listening is he now, Fernando Tatis Jr. now can appear in the leaderboard. So magically, if you looked online today or if you looked in your morning newspaper, if any – but he still does that.
I have one.
All right. Magically today, after last night's game, Fernando Tatis Jr. slid into the batting top 10. He's now tied for fifth in the National League. So when that happens, and that's why I say to me the Rookie of the Year race kind of started today, because once you get into the leaders, now you're back on people's radar. And so when people, voters, fans, look at the leaders, oh, there's Fernando Tatis Jr. If you don't qualify, it would have been really hard for him to win the award.
It's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah,
standpoint. Well, Scotty, you wrote a terrific piece on Bleacher Report about Fernando Tatis Jr. He's keeping some pretty good company, right? I mean, him and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are really tight. They consider each other brothers.
Yeah.
What is he seeing from his standpoint? Because Vlad Jr. came into the year with probably more hype than Fernando Tatis Jr. did, and he's starting to live up to that. What is he seeing from his buddy all the way in Toronto out here in San Diego?
Yeah, I mean, he's been impressed. He said, you know, he's loving what Fernando Tatis Jr. is doing. He says, you know, good people, good players, you know, good things happen to all of them. You know, I talk Fernando Tatis Jr., he like a lot of people, he was glued to the Home Run Derby. He watched his buddy. He was very happy, proud of Vladdy Jr. and what he did. The two of them, they live in the Dominican Republic about 90 minutes apart, drive time. So they spend a little bit of time together in the winter. They text frequently. They're good buddies. You know, interestingly, we started hearing Vladdy Jr. got the head start on all the hype last year. Remember, everybody last year kept saying he should be up to the majors, and he never was. And then this spring, we all thought Fernando Tatis Jr. would start in the minor leagues for the same reason.
Right.
I kidded. The one thing that didn't make it into the story, kind of the outtakes section, this spring I talked to both of them as I was doing my travels, and I kidded each of them. I told Vladdy when I was in Dunedin, Florida, I said, you and your buddy Fernando should have a dinner bet on who's going to make the major leagues first. And Vladdy laughed, and he said, yeah, we didn't do that. I said, well, you should have. Then when I got to Peoria, I told Fernando that. I said, you guys should have a dinner bet. And Fernando, you know, he gave me a pretty good answer, but he said, you know, he laughed. He said, that's a good idea. He said, but it's not in our control. Right. We understand the business of baseball. But then it turned out it wasn't Fernando's control.
Right. It's funny because at a young age to recognize, I mean, clearly that's not his decision and it's out of his control, but that doesn't stop any other young guys from still trying to control that scenario, and it kind of speaks to why we see such a, I don't know, free individual out there. He's not constrained by anything. He goes out and plays the game. I find that to be one of the best attributes he has. He recognizes at such an early age that he doesn't control. He's going to control whatever he can control and then kind of let the chips fall where they may be.
And just go out and play and have fun. And, yeah, I agree with you on that, Tony. I think, to me, that component of his personality plays an important role on why he's so good out there, because he's not worrying about other things. You know, I mean, I asked him about, in the story, I asked him about, you know, the tagging up from third base when the pop-ups are to second. You know, I asked him, I said, what do you see out there? And he said, you know, he basically said, I'm kind of trying to do the same thing I've always done going back to when I played as a kid. He said, and one of the things is I look around and I try to catch people sleeping or not paying attention. And we see that every day.
Yeah, well, he went from first to third on a wild pitch last week. And Andy Green said after the game he was mad at him because he didn't score. I mean, that's what Fernando Tatis Jr. has been bringing to the table.
Yeah.
Scott Miller's with us from Bleacher Report. I want to stay with the rookies for one more question because I'm looking at what happened over the weekend. Aquino in Cincinnati had a 3-home-run game, and so did Alvarez of the Astros. And they just have now joined the group of rookies. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I don't think baseball's ever had this many good rookies. I could be wrong. I'd have to go through and research it all. But why is it that so many guys are coming up to the big leagues and are contributing so much right away?
And Aquino that you just mentioned, he just got plugged in at the trade deadline. He's the kid that's playing right field in Cincinnati since he traded Yasiel Puig to Cleveland. So they chip Puig away, and next thing you know, they plug in Aquino, and he's going crazy. You know, to answer I think there are a couple different things, Chris, to answer your question. One, I think kids are getting a chance more than ever for a combination of business reasons. You know, they're cheaper.
Right.
Also, post-performance-enhancing drug, post-steroid era, with that out of the game, now players are aging as they always did when you're 32.
Or they're aging like they're supposed to.
Like they're supposed to, right.
Like the rest of us do. Right?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you think back to the steroid era for a little bit. I mean, you know, Barry Bonds and Rafael Palmeiro and some of these guys, they're 38, 39 years old, and they're just doing unbelievable things. And now you're not seeing that. So I think the kids are getting
a really good point.
More of
a
chance.
Yeah, it's a great quote.
And the other reason to me is this is a generation of kids coming into the game that have grown up with travel ball.
Specialized at an early age.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so they have been playing baseball way more than, say, the 22-year-olds that came up in 1975 or 1985 or even 1995.
Yeah, that's a really good point about with the performing enhancing.
Those are like three really good points. Right? Scott, you ought to think about going into sports writing. You're really good at this.
Scott, I want to talk a little bit around baseball. I mean, you and I talked shortly after the Mets traded for Marcus Stroman, and I remember asking you, what in the world are they doing? And you had a good reasoning from what you had heard. They were setting up for the 2020 season. Did they think that this run that they have been on over the last 19 games was actually possible?
You know what? I don't know for sure, but I will say if they say yes, they're lying.
That's what I thought.
You can't. There's no way you can say. But yeah, I think my answer when we talked about that, Tony, I think at the time was Stroman is still under control. He's not a free agent until after next year. Syndergaard's got two more years. They were looking at maybe trading Syndergaard. So by acquiring Stroman, it was almost like buying an insurance policy. Where
in case they did make that
move. If they traded Syndergaard, then they already have a running start for next year. They'd have DeGrom and Stroman at the top of the lineup. And then, I mean, the rotation. And then if they didn't trade Syndergaard, which, of course, is what happened, then you've got DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, and you're really talking now.
Yeah, that's not a team anybody wants to face if they can find a way to get in the playoffs with that starting rotation. That
or a one-game playoff,
right?
Because the Mets would have a really good pitcher no matter what happens.
Yeah, somebody asked me about that today. I was talking to somebody earlier about the possibility, like the Mets, you know, what do you think, you know, if they could get to the wild card. I mean, if they can get to the wild card, remember the Giants in 2014,
yes.
The third World Series title, they won it all. They entered via the wild card, and they had that kid named Madison Bumgarner facing the Pirates. And, yeah, DeGrom would be the same, or Syndergaard, or whoever they would start.
That's the thing, is they got options,
yeah.
If that's the case.
It was a mismatch. Scott Miller's with us from Bleacher Report, talking a little Major League Baseball here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, the Padres. Take us a little bit around. I know around baseball, everybody's excited about the young Padres and the future of this franchise. What have the Padres learned in the first 4 months of this season that you think they can apply to this organization going forward in terms of what they really do need to be a competitive team at the major league level? We know they're a great minor league system,
yeah,
but eventually that's got to translate to the big league level. How are they going to get that from one step to the other one?
Well, that's, yeah, and you're right. A lot of this year has been about watching and figuring things out. And you know, I think they've learned some things about their pitchers. You know, I mean, they said, a lot of us thought it'd be this spring, well, shoot, they ought to go sign Dallas Keuchel or add a veteran. And I know, you know, A.J. Preller and others told me, no, we want to see what we have on the pitcher. So, I mean, I think they're sorting through that. You know, we saw Logan Allen get tagged, packaged with
Franmil.
Thank you, to Cleveland. You know, that's an example of a small example of some of the things they've learned. You know, they looked at Logan Allen earlier in the year. They looked at him in the minors, and they decided, as far as our left-handed pitchers go, we've got a handful we like better than him.
Right.
So, okay, he's expendable. You know, and they learned probably that Hunter Renfroe maybe is the keeper over Franmil. I mean, that's the obvious stuff I think they've learned. Obvious being that, well, duh, they traded Franmil and Logan Allen to Cleveland. So,
yeah.
You know, I think they've learned, and that was part of this deal as well, I think they've learned they need – you know, too many right-handed hitting corner outfielders. They need to mix in some lefty hitters. I think that's why you saw that trade pulled to get Taylor Trammell. You know, I think they're learning. I don't know if this is they'd admit it publicly or not, but I think they're learning that they still need to look around for catchers around the league. Obviously, Austin Hedges, everybody likes his defense, but you know, it's been X number of years, and he's still not been able to find offensive consistency. I think there's some components to the team like that, that by playing 110 or 15 games so far this season,
yeah,
they're farther down the road, and they're able to identify some needs like that.
Well said.
Well, hopefully when we're talking to you next season at this time, we'll be talking about how it all worked. And the Padres are getting ready for a nice run down the stretch in August and September rather than being in a spoiler role.
One more question before we let you out of here. What is the likelihood do you think that Steven Strasburg's opts out of his contract?
Oh, that's a good question. I think as well as he's pitching right now, too, he likes it in D.C. I think that's why, because he was the rare Scott Boras guy that didn't go to free agency. He signed before he got there.
When I tell people he has a lot of characteristics that my dad had. It's eerily similar.
Is that right?
Yes, he's a creature of habit. He's a comfort junkie. He wants to be in his zone, And, you know, free agency doesn't really give you any of that stuff. You're starting anew.
And he's got kids now that are close to – are they – do you know, Tony, are they school age yet? If they're not, they're really close.
They're really close. Yeah. But I know they still have a home here in San Diego. That's the only reason
why
they –
They didn't sell that.
No, not that
they
I'm
haven't.
Aware.
Okay. I think he stays in D.C. for some of the reasons we've just talked. And I think in signing that deal, the kids are almost school age now. So I think he, I think he's looking at making a home in D.C.
That would make sense.
Scott, be wrong. Just once.
Right.
You're right all the time. You can be wrong one time. Hey, thanks, Scott.
Thanks,
as always, great talking baseball with Scott Miller on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU-4U or visit SDCCU.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.